Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better,
better.
We get
beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
More beat, beat.
More beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning. I think he's feeling a little better. Either finally tried Fireball or got some chicken noodle soup. One or the other.
Or both.
And ride it off. This could be the last day of mid-50s and sunshine for a while.
Next week looks better.
Okay.
You got to get through,
the weekend.
Yeah, tomorrow and Saturday. But Sunday's in the 50s again. So
you're making my day. Good. Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury and ESPN, coming up in 15 minutes. Gary Barnett in 1 hour. And Uncle Jerry, Coach DiNardo, Big Ten Network, will be with us. And we will have to go back in time and talk to Coach Barnett, not only about this weekend's action, but ask him about Iowa and Michigan. Coach, Michigan at Iowa, can Iowa pull it together?
No.
You're just like, shut up and don't ask me.
Give me another one.
Come okay. On. Okay. So there we go. I sounded like the old Muppet Men in the balcony there with my laugh. I need to dial that back. That's not annoying or anything. Might help to listen to myself once in a while. Mm-hmm. Good news, recruiting-wise, when it comes to visits this weekend, per 24/7 Sports, Tanner McKee, a pro-style quarterback from, say it with me, Corona, California, the number 7 pro-style, is going to be checking out Nebraska. That's pretty cool. So that's one guy that'll be in this weekend, but it's about the seniors. It's about this 2016 class. And Bird, let's get into the quarterback question, because that's kind of been the talk and buzz and question, really, is, you know, it's Tommy Watch 2.0.
Right.
And listen, I don't know what you do if you're Mike Riley and Danny Langsdorf, because here is what I think is likely going on. I don't know how much he's done, if anything, minimal. At least that was yesterday's report. We'll have more in about an hour and a half after practice or sooner. But he's done minimal. Got to be very careful. Mm-hmm. You have protocol with concussions. Your hamstring is as temperamental as your wife when you get home at 3 a.m., okay.
Very close.
Right?
It's fair.
Depending on the wife.
Fair assessment.
And hamstring. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're dealing with. And Tommy was pretty adamant in the post game that I'm not playing. Mm. I'm going to play.
Right.
So here's what I foresee. You, for the first time all year, if this goes right on senior day, and these seniors deserve it, he comes out, they get out to a lead, and then you hand off the baton to another senior. You got a safe lead, you got a good lead, and you have a situation where there's really no nerves, because poor Riker Fives not come into a game very often in his career where there's not been some sort of fire going on, be it at Michigan State, be it at Ohio State, the two that come to my mind most recently. Mm-hmm. And last weekend, he came in and they were 3-and-out, and Tommy got some tape and came out and they went and got a touchdown. So get a lead, hand it off to Riker, be smart, because long term, you gotta get Iowa. And first things first, you got to get Maryland. How do you handle this? How do you treat it if you're Coach Riley, if you're Tommy Armstrong, even? Because he wants to be out there. He wants to be out there with his guys in that class. Mm-hmm. And you ran out that tunnel one final time, so it's extremely special. We'll kind of get into Tommy's legacy here and try and describe his tenure, too, as we move forward today on Hail Varsity Radio. But can you sit him down and say, look, man, let's let Riker do this? He's been called the ultimate competitor for, you know, by every teammate he's ever played with. It's like, no, I'm going to play.
Right.
Unless the coach tells you no.
Mm-hmm.
Happy a senior day, you're benched.
Right.
Because of your hamstring. So have fun this week is
right,
what I'm saying.
Right. Well, the hamstrings are tricky. It's some people, they're different. Some people, they can come back pretty quickly from them. Some people, it's a process. And it's hard to, you know, with an ankle, you know, you can go out there and
tape it and shoot tape it up.
It's just you can get around those type of things because you can move as fast as you can. Yeah, it might not be top speed, but you still are able to get by and not essentially hurt it anymore, really.
The longer you sit on it, the longer you're off of it, the more stiff it's going to be.
Correct. So, but the hamstring, it's just hard because it could feel good. And it's not like you can go out there like with a hamstring and just say, hey, make it work, you know, hobble around. You can't do that because you're just, as an athlete, you can't just half step it out. You can't because you're going to get hurt worse. B, you're just, it's just, you can't do it because as soon as you feel any pressure, you know, he does, any rush, he needs to get out of there as quick as possible. Those fast twitch muscles get engaged and all of a sudden, you know, you're engaging those, that hamstring muscle and everything to get out of there. And all of a sudden you're pulling it again, causing more damage. You're going to go down. It's just, it's hard. So he needs to be, you know, damn near 100% on this hamstring. Cause it's hard because you can't, you know, it's not like you're a first baseman, you know, out there that just doesn't move very much, you know. You're
unless Sean Dunstan's throwing over to you.
Correct. But
you talk hamstrings and someone right. that's still pissed about or, his. Or Mark Grace.
Right.
Sorry.
Or you're Dan Marino back there where you're more of a statue and, you know, you just kind of throw it away. You're just kind of shuffling around in the pocket, Philip Rivers-esque. And that's not Tommy's game. He needs to be, you know, 100% and be able to be mobile and agile and get around the pocket. So it'll be interesting. I know he's in a tough spot, and I think Mike Riley's in a tough spot. It's, you know, 6 1 way, half a dozen the other, because you want this kid that has worked his tail off. It's a senior day. You want him to get a shot. He's earned this. But it's just you want
short-term versus long-term.
Exactly. You know, can we beat Maryland with Riker? Yeah. But, you know, we send Tommy out there, and also we re-injure something, and all of a sudden, you know, it's not 7 days that you play Iowa, it's six.
Mm-hmm. Short week.
So
thank you, Black Friday game.
Mm-hmm. So it's just – it's a tough situation. I don't know how you handle it. Do you send Tommy out there for the first series, see how it goes, and then Riker comes in, or do you don't shoot Tommy up at all and just don't even give him that option?
Here's what can't happen, and I kind of pitched this to Vogel yesterday, and he's like – no, but the break in case of emergency plan.
Mm-hmm.
You let Riker do it. If things aren't going well, Tommy puts the Superman cape on and comes in. Here's what needs to happen. You got Foster back. He's tough. He was good. You had Farmer back. You're better. Mm-hmm. You're a much better offensive mm-hmm. line. Maryland mm-hmm. loves giving up 4.5 to 5 a carry. And you let the other senior, who's played in 50 games, try and give tribute to a former senior in Roy Helou. You run the football mm-hmm. and see how many yards newbie can get till Maryland finally stops him. I don't know where Zigbo's at. All this information via injury will probably be addressed and laid out here again post-practice. That said, you have enough weapons around here, and I'm not treating Maryland – like they're completely garbage. I don't think I think they're fast. I don't think they're physical.
That's a fair assessment.
Okay? And I don't think they tackle. Okay.
I haven't seen them a lot. I haven't seen them play a lot. I mean, I just don't get excited to watch a Maryland.
You've been wise. You've been wise with your time with that. But they're just not there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They have some players and defensively. If Nebraska does their job stopping the run game and tackling and comes in ready and prepared mentally, mm-hmm. it ain't going to be a ball game. It's checking the line, and the line is down about a point and a half to about 13.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at that, and, you know, there's not a lot of panic. There was a ton of question last week against Minnesota with Armstrong, the concussion, because – that line was not posted for a while, and then it was at 7, and then it dropped to 5, and you wondered. And then, you know, we kind of got word before Saturday's kickoff that, yeah, he was going to go. So this is different. He'll start, I believe, and they build a double-digit lead quickly. And then it's not that Riker can't go perform, but don't put him in an awkward position. Here's what I also wonder about. And if you didn't read Mitch Sherman's piece on ESPN.com about this walk-on class, 18 walk-ons, 10 ended up receiving scholarships, and it was very heartfelt piece on a number of the seniors that are going to walk out that tunnel one more time, one final time. They were reflecting on Sam Foltz. And Riker's comments were pretty striking to me about Foltzy, and they played together, obviously, in GI. But in the final, towards the end of the column, or the story from Mitch, Riker was talking about how he should be walking out there with Sam, and that's always been on his mind. And I have no doubt that it's extremely tough to deal with the loss, and it's been ongoing, and there's no timeline for that. But I hope when Riker's in there, because he has the arm strength and he has the talent to be a really good quarterback. We've not seen Riker in a spot where he's been comfortable, because as a backup, you got to go in and put the fire out. I get that. But the situations he's been in were really rough. They're down by a bunch, or he's trying – the Minnesota spot wasn't great, because even though he prepared all week, you saw the offense sputter. Mm-hmm. There's just a different rhythm. There's a different feel. There's a different flow. And honestly, I think there's a different confidence level. There just is. So how's he going to be on senior day? It's his senior day. It's his buddies. One of his dear friends is gone. And can he go out there and play it for Sam and handle that? Because, I mean, the emotion's going to be incredible on Saturday. And can you go out and perform like you want to and not let Maryland hang around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the interesting aspect to me is, so if you're Riker, you know, it's so much easier to know that you're going to play, you're going to start. Because there's, in football and just in any athletic event in general, there's a flow.
Yeah,
there's a rhythmic flow to it, and you get a part of that flow to where you get your kind of your nerves out. You get the thinking kind of aspect out of it. You get in that zone,
just go play.
Right? And it's just hard to be, you know, well, am I going to play or am I not going to play? Is Tommy going to go? Am I not going to go? Is he going to get dinged up? And I'm, you know, it's just hard. It's hard to, because it that becomes exhausting. That mindset of always second guessing what I'm going to be doing, it becomes tough. So it's much easier on Riker to for him to prepare himself mentally to go out there and know that he's taken the first snap and the very last snap, no matter what. So it'd be interesting to see just from a game plan. Because I mean, let's be honest, if a healthy Tommy playing, this is a 3-touchdown type of ball game.
You win by
right.
20,
right?
But
with Riker,
they really haven't done that since week two.
No, you're right, on paper?
No, you're right. On paper, they should have covered
Riker,
a lot more than half.
But you said it. I mean, let's just say, I can't even really say hypothetically. I mean, it's a really good chance that Riker plays the whole game. You run this thing. If there's 70 snaps the Nebraska offense have, if you're running this thing, you better run it about 50 times.
20 pass attempts,
yeah.
50 rush attempts.
And I'm talking the 20 pass attempts are like bubble screens, slants. I don't even like the slants because they can get tipped, and we've had enough of those. I'm talking like high percentage throws. I mean, don't even let
– Maryland gets rocked between – in the flat and between that 7 and 10-yard number.
Right, so just kill them in that area. Don't
Seathan,
even
come on down.
Exactly. You know, you're just – it's just high percentage. It's digs. It's stop right. It's just simple things. And if they start playing, you know, over-aggressive on them – then sure, you throw a double move in there, you know it's still one-on-one coverage, but don't need to be trying to fit it in any windows. You don't need to be a hero. You know, hopefully the defense, you know, they played well that second half against Minnesota, carry that momentum over to where that same style, shutting them out against Maryland, and you go and take care of your business. Listen, if they win this game by 14 points or whatever it may be, great.
Win.
It's just, you got to win right now, because it's – when you're without your starting quarterback, man, it gets real sticky. Just things just don't, like, that rhythmic flow that you might feel, or you see some drives Nebraska's been in, especially this last game against Minnesota, that's what you have with your starting quarterback. When you all of a sudden he's not in there, it just kind of feels like you're kind of just get out of bed and your leg's asleep and it's just not right. You know, you're trying to walk because you got to pee so bad, but like I can't get there fast enough because I can barely move.
The Jay Moore biography.
Right. You know,
my leg is numb and I got to go to the kick.
Right. Exactly. So it's just you get there, but it doesn't look right. It doesn't look pretty. So we'll see.
Nebraska looked like Nebraska early in the year last week. With the offense clicking, with the long play drives, with the conversions, with the efficiency, with the balance, with keeping the Minnesota defense off balance. Mm-hmm. And you looked as good as you've looked since Northwestern. What an accident. You got both your linemen at guard back. Mm-hmm. Your defense played really well and pitched a shutout in the second half. And Tommy was just rocking. Mm-hmm. He was all over it. Can you do that with some different pieces? History says no, it's going to be bumpy because you've mixed and matched so much on the lines against many opponents. Now you might have a different quarterback, and that's not ever smooth. Not always. Shouldn't ever say ever. Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, is up next on Hail Varsity.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Hope you're doing all right. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Come see us one more time tomorrow afternoon in the rail yard. The Hail Varsity tailgate, Husker gear, Nebraska-Maryland tickets. And, of course, that grand prize giveaway happens tomorrow from your friends at Sauter Heyman. The His and Her Oris Watch grand prize giveaway. Craft beer tasting bar. We'll be there. Some munchies and our friends from Kidwell, ESPN, 1480. Also thank them for helping put this on. The Rail Yard, of course, Brian Health, Emeritus, Ren's Display, Nebraska Lottery, Triple B Screen Printing. But get on down for the Hail Varsity tailgate in the Rail Yard, 4 to 6:30. They have those portable heaters there. There's plenty of places to get liquids that can keep you warm. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a good old time. I'd invite Bill Dolman up if he wasn't going to be doing something important down in Boomer Sooner land. Bill, how we doing?
You know, I'm doing great. I was able to get away from the snow of Colorado, which apparently was just like a dusting, but they kind of chased people out anyway. But no, always good down to come down and see my good friends at Oklahoma.
So what's the word here? Do you start Tommy Armstrong with the hamstring issues? Do you go with Riker Five, both senior quarterbacks?
Well, I think you start Tommy because I'm not much into the ceremony of the whole deal, but I think that it's senior day. And if anybody in this era of Nebraska football has earned a start on senior day, mm-hmm. you know, it's Tommy Armstrong. But you've seen it in the past where, you know, somebody, you know, is hurt playing basketball and they give him the opening tip and they give him that ceremonial basket and then off the court he goes and, you know, never to play again. I think that's Tommy Armstrong's situation. But I think given what he has piloted this program through over the last 4 years, I'd put him out there. Let's see how he can do. He's certainly proven his toughness over the years. And, you know, and I go back to, I think, what I said last week. It mystifies me in this era of college football, and especially in Nebraska, how ill-prepared your backup quarterbacks are. You know, back in the day, you used to get 100 snaps a day in practice, and you'd probably play a quarter on Saturdays. And now it's just this NFL mentality. So I don't know exactly how well-prepared Riker Fife is anyway. Fortunately, we're not playing, you know, a major – I shouldn't say a major game, but we're not – this isn't the Iowa game, which is the rivalry game. Mm-hmm. This is Maryland. You should win this game. But and maybe Riker Fife should play a significant amount of snaps in the second half, you know, in case Tommy can't go against Iowa. But I think Tommy Armstrong – for all he has done, has earned the right to be out there to take a few snaps, and if they get a touchdown on the opening drive, all the better.
Bill Dolman with us, Hail Varsity Radio, ESPN's Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Now, Bill, I got to ask you, where does Tommy kind of stack up to other Husker quarterbacks? And you grew up watching some of the greats, and then you obviously worked for the coach, for Coach Osborne, so you were there as part of the process. So you saw so many different quarterbacks come through and win a ton. Tommy's record, his winning percentage right now is around 65%, and he's not had a ton of talent around him in some years, and in other years he's had guys that are playing on Sundays around him. So where do you kind of slot him as far as Husker quarterbacks go?
Well, I think he's better than probably. I put him above Sam Keller.
Right. You're going to hurt Jay's feelings, but okay.
No, my feelings aren't hurt at all by that one.
Okay.
I can tell you that much right now.
So I put him above Sam Keller. I think that you have to kind of put guys in different classifications. You know, did somebody do something, you know, that is definitely leaves a lasting legacy? For my money and for all time, Turner Gill is the greatest Nebraska football quarterback, not just because of the success on the field, and they didn't win a national championship, unfortunately, but he was the transition. Turner Gill was the pivot point. As perfectly as he pivoted in the option, you know, when he take the ball from under center and spin around a 180 or whatever it was. But he was the one who transitioned Tom Osborne's offense into the option and into what Nebraska football was from 1981, 82, through the rest of Tom's tenure. Now, then I think you put Tommy Frazier in there at number two. And Tommy and Turner, to me, are two of the greatest college football quarterbacks in history. Mm-hmm. I know you get a lot of pushback from that, but I'm talking college football quarterbacks. Not NFL potential quarterbacks or any of that, but those two, to me, without Turner, there's no Tommy, and without Tommy, there's no 60-3 and all the success mm-hmm. that Nebraska had, not just on the field, but just in terms of the tenacity of winning that he brought. You know, certainly Jerry Tagge has to be in there. You know, would Jerry be the quarterback of the Nebraska football team in the 80s? No, but when Nebraska needed to win a national championship and had to have a leader, then, Jerry Tagge has to be there because he won a couple national titles. Scott Frost, I'm not sure there's ever been a tougher quarterback at Nebraska, both physically, just his physical presence and his mental. Scott Frost, people forget, after he left to go to Stanford, came back, was under such intense scrutiny from Nebraska fans. It was really unfair.
Look who he followed.
And look who he fought. You're right, exactly. And what did he do? And then there was that 19-0 loss at Arizona State, which was god awful.
I'm blaming you. I'm blaming you for that, Dolman, because I went down there as a freshman.
I blame Frank Cush.
Okay.
Because they had the Frank Cush celebration. We didn't get a walkthrough until like 9:30 that night. It was just one of those days. And then Eric Crouch winning a Heisman Trophy has to be in there too. So I think you put those five guys. And then after that, clearly Garth Glissman goes up there. There's no question about that.
Wow. I'm going to let him know that.
Well, of course. I mean, you're all going to be working for him someday somewhere. So we all got to be sucking up to Garth, all right?
Wow.
Whether he's the commissioner of the NBA, the athletic director of Nebraska, or the Nebraska governor, whatever it is, I think you always want to suck up to the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was that run of quarterbacks in the 80s where it was like one-year wonders, but they did wonderful jobs. And they were Big Eight players of the year. Jerry Godowski, I would probably put Tommy, if Jerry Godowski had two or three years as a starter,
yeah.
I think that there's some similarity there in, they're not great passers, but they were efficient enough passers. Jerry just was very smart, very athletic. And I think was Big Eight Offensive Player of the Year. Then Keith McCann comes along.
Yeah.
People forget, but Keith and I think had a great supporting cast. He was a great manager, right, of the Nebraska offense. But I think Tommy's definitely in the top 10, and that goes way back. I mean, think about who Nebraska's had. The greatest holder in the history of football, Dave Hum.
Yeah.
You know, But Dave Hum was great back in the early 70s. Vince Ferragamo, you know, it was an entirely different offense. But if you go, you know, you go on, he'd be quarterbacked in the Super Bowl.
Does he remind you, does Tommy's run here, it was a year longer. He had eight starts as a true as a redshirt freshman. So three and three-fourths years. And then Jamal Lord had 2 years. Does he run parallel to Jamal Lord? The longer you get away from the Jamal Lord era, the more you appreciate him.
Well, I think there's a similarity in that I'm not sure that they both had great supporting casts around them. You know, certainly Tommy benefited from the greatest offensive line in college football history and, you know, some of the great running backs and, you know, receivers who bought in that they had to block and then catch. And then great defense. I mean, you go back and 95 is the greatest team in college football history, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think if Tommy had had maybe the same kind of supporting cast, you know, if he definitely ranks in the top 10.
Okay.
There's no question, and that's with all of the intangibles.
Sure,
you know, he's a heady player. He's a tough player. He's a loyal player. He went through coaching transitions, and there's turmoil and a subpar season. Played through injuries. I mean, I think he ranks among the toughest of all.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I would probably put him in that Steve Taylor classification. Zach Taylor was tougher than hell. People forget Zach for the most part. It was, again, a different offense. But Zach was pretty tough. But I think in that Steve Taylor, Jerry Godowski, and I think that's highly complimentary to put him in there. He just didn't have the benefit of continuity in playing for Tom Osborne and in that era of Nebraska football. And he deserves credit for piloting through some really choppy waters and transitions. And I think he's to be respected. And I think he's played very admirably well this year compared to, you know, you just never knew what you were going to get a year ago. He's played much smarter football this year. And I think Nebraskans will remember Tommy Armstrong fondly for many, many, many years, as they do with everybody who played in Nebraska. But I think that there will be a fondness for Tommy Armstrong, and especially when they look back at all that he had to endure with the tumult.
All right. I need a prediction. Bill Dolman in Oklahoma is joining us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Billy D., Nebraska, Maryland, give it to me.
Well, looking at the Maryland stuff, and this is senior day, this should be a rise-up-and-destroy kind of game. I think I saw Maryland has lost to Ohio State and Michigan by a combined 121-6.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with that.
Okay. You're just going to pile on. Okay, 121-6. Dolman says Husker win. Husker cover. Now, we didn't enter in with music. We need to do that. And we're back to the old theme. It's not the crying game this week.
Thank you.
But no, we're fired up. We're ready to go. I am waiting to get that green light from you to crash on your couch. We'll be headed your way to Donkey Land for the Patriots game. And I still haven't gotten the yes, Schmidt, come on over with your friends.
Yeah. And you're expecting one?
Well, you know, the return to sender can only happen so many times. I wrote you a letter. I said, hey, man, I need to crash on your... And he was like, I haven't heard back from Bill Dolman. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'll get that. Hey, yeah, we'll catch up.
Just have your people contact my people.
I'll bring Carson.
And say... you know, write a couple essays like an entrance exam.
You know I can't write. All right. Bill, you have a good weekend, bud. We'll talk before Turkey Day. Thanks again.
Happy Senior Day to all.
All right, buddy. There he is. Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, and ESPN with us. We'll expand a little bit on Tommy Armstrong and what he's meant to Nebraska. Two games left, obviously. Mm-hmm. But what comes to mind? What do you think of with Tommy Armstrong, and has it changed for you as a Nebraska fan? Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, who backed up Jay? Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Bill Dolman, ESPN, and the Pride of Fairbury. Says Tommy's a top 10 quarterback. Good story by Sam McEwen, World Herald. He got into this a little bit earlier today with throwing it out there where Tommy would rank. And I mean, the guy's still around. He has two games, one for sure remaining. Iowa is what I'm talking about.
Well, and a bowl game.
And well, thank you, three. Mm-hmm. He has three
and
games.
Bowl games
left.
Count now on statistics.
They do. And I'm not as much of a statistical guy, although they're, yes, very important when it comes to completion percentage and touchdown to interception ratio and turnover numbers. And the number that's always meant most to me as a Nebraska kid growing up here and being a fan until, you know, you turn to the dark side and do the whole profession thing. So you don't root. Mm-hmm. You just check it out and
you observe.
You observe and give your thoughts. The most important thing to me is percentage. What's your winning percentage? Okay, and I did some math, and it was about the level of math I can do. But Tommy right now is winning his 65%. He's 28-13. Jamal Lord, 17-10 in 27 starts. His winning percentage, 63%. I'm just throwing guys out since around 1980, mm-hmm. Okay? The minimum of 2 years. Joe Gaines is the exception because I like Joe Gaines. You have Tommy Frazier was 33-3. That's 92%. Scott Frost was 26-2, 93%. And then Turner Gill was 28-2. Didn't lose a big eight game. That was 93%. Eric Crouch was 31-8. That's at 80%. And Crouch's freshman year where he got about mm-hmm. four starts, had a handful. I mean, had some tough duty back when they were doing the quarterback merry-go-round with when Newcomb got hurt. Steve Taylor, hell of a quarterback, was the next after Turner that really took Nebraska. And Steve Taylor was 31-6. And the six losses were to two to Oklahoma, one to Aikman, one to what was that?
Aikman at one, UCLA or Aikman at OU?
No, Aikman at OU busted his leg, and then he got Jamel Holloway. Thank you for that. Florida State. Okay, so Steve Taylor, awesome career. And Steve Taylor won a lot of big games mm-hmm. and went 1-2 against Oklahoma when no one was going 1-2 against Oklahoma. Taylor Martinez, 31-14, 45 career starts. Taylor's winning percentage at 69%. Steve Taylor's at 82%. Zach Taylor at 65%. Joey Gans in 16 starts was at 69%. So Tommy's 65% kind of puts him in the same breath of Jamal Lord, of Zach Taylor, of Joey Gans, of Taylor Martinez. Agree?
Yeah, that's fair.
Because all those guys played for, not all, but some played for championships, mm-hmm. conference championships, but didn't win them. And that's kind of where there's that separation. Mm-hmm. Do you win the games? Do you play for championships? That's what kind of separates me. And I'm a little bit torn on what surrounded Tommy because as a redshirt freshman, he had 3/5 of his offensive line that are playing in the NFL. Quincy Enunwa and Kenny Bell are in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Amir Abdullah's in the NFL. Levante David was gone by then. Okay, so on the defensive side of the ball, I don't think there was much secondary. This was post-Dennard, post-Haig.
Post-Prince,
uh-huh. Right. So you still had Randy, you still had Vincent, you still had Malik, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Will Compton.
You had Will Compton. So I look at this. And when I think of Tommy Armstrong, he's the guy that he's the one quarterback that I said Nebraska, and I know Taylor Martinez had some fourth quarter comeback wins, specifically in 2012, but Tommy's the guy that engineered those almost games mm-hmm. where Nebraska's getting stomped, and then they come out of nowhere to make it a game, but they just don't quite finish the job. And I'm thinking of Michigan State a couple of years ago. I'm thinking of Miami last year. He's the guy that just, against USC, they're down 17 points in the Holiday Bowl. Mm-hmm. And he 45-42, shootout ball game, and almost had it done. Tommy's the guy that just, you could never snuff out. And that's when I'm going to go forward with, in the as crazy as the roller coaster is with him and his time here, when it comes to just what he has been through, he's that fourth quarter guy that's going to make you you finally beat him. Mm-hmm. And I think he's a guy that's grown up a ton in the last calendar year. You know how last year ended with Iowa. You know how Nebraska and his teammates didn't vote him captain. I mean, you know those storylines. But I think he had to come in this year as a senior with a lot to prove to that locker room. And I think he did. I think he took step one against Oregon, how he gutted it out. I think step two was how he found a way to get him out of Indiana. And then some response drives, obviously, against Wisconsin. And then just trying to give it his all against Ohio State that was just out of whack. Mm-hmm. So he has grown up a ton in the last year, and he's just the guy that if you're picking a quarterback that is going to keep firing, and they're all supposed to, but if you're going to pick a guy that will just never say die, it's him. Out of all these quarterbacks, if they got down, a lot of them would stay down, and that's not saying they quit. It's just that their ability to make a comeback wasn't great, aside from Taylor Martinez. And I think from a Taylor Martinez versus Tommy Armstrong, the narrative changed from, yeah, it's Tommy, to now I think the rest of the state, I think they love them some Tommy Armstrong now, and I think they respect the hell out of Tommy Armstrong now. I don't know that that was the case going in. It was they were worried about Tommy Armstrong, self-inflicting. That talk has stopped. It still might be in the back of your mind from a decision-making standpoint because it's never always clear. That's part of his magic is coming back, that gunslinger mentality. But I honestly believe there's been a shift in major appreciation for Tommy Armstrong as he's closing out his final days versus just kind of, yeah, that's our quarterback, Tommy Armstrong type mindset.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see when he goes out, you don't even have to see Riker play. I'm not, nothing against Riker, but you can just feel
the command.
You just feel the energy just kind of dissipate. You know, it just leaves. It just flattens out. You know, Tommy has that juice, man. He has that
you've been
that
around juice, guys that have that, right?
That juice, and you step out there, you know, with the good comes the bad, but you know you always have a shot, and you know you have that ability to just keep trucking along, and that's what he has. That's what, you know, some of the good ones have is just, you know, it doesn't matter. I always talk about the ability to forget kind of the scoreboard, and sometimes it's a good thing, and sometimes it's a bad thing, but listen, that's how you go about your business, and He has a pretty unique way about doing it, and I think people will be. I've said it before, but I think people have been probably spoiled a little bit with him, even though they get frustrated. But you've been pretty damn spoiled. You've had a quarterback for 4 years. Doesn't happen a lot of places.
No, and he's been durable as all get out, and spoiled's the right word. We'll wind down hour one on Hail Varsity.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
You know, we came up with a much more concise way to say what we think of Tommy Armstrong during the break. This guy that inspired hope. You were nails, Jay, with that he brought that juice. And he's a guy that I think a lot of Nebraska fans have kind of fallen in love with the last 3 weeks, specifically with how gutty he's been. I mean, you've always known he's talented and tough, but he's put together a good season this year. And again, we're kind of prefacing everything around the Ohio State game, that being taken out of the equation. That wasn't all on him. At all. I mean, he got knocked out, and it is what it is. But I think you're going to miss him when he's gone, kind of like the appreciation factor you may have now, a greater for Jamal Lord. And he's a guy that always inspired that chance to come back and give you a shot to win it. Mm-hmm. And that's and they got down by a boatload at some instances, but they forced their way back, and you had to appreciate it. Now, your heart might not be doing so well over the years because of it. We will give away a six-month premium online subscription right now to HaleVarsity.com. Some pretty awesome recruiting stuff just posted on some in-state defensive linemen and some info on some skill guys, maybe out from Calabasas. But you want to log on, HaleVarsity.com. /subscribe, 30-day free sign up today as you look towards this recruiting season. But right now, a six-month premium online subscription. Caller 6 now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 6 now gets you that six-month premium online subscription to Hail Varsity. What do you get? Access to the message board, premium content reserved for online subscribers, insider info from our great staff, Brandon Vogel, Aaron Sorensen, Jacob Padilla, Jake Jensen, in-depth recruiting analysis, and up-to-the-minute breaking news. We'll have a practice report coming up here in hopefully less than an hour. Gary Barnett is 10 minutes away. He is going to be doing the Washington State-Colorado game. Huge one in the Pac-12. We'll get his take on Nebraska-Maryland. Get his thoughts on Iowa-Michigan. Also, Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, with us in about 35 minutes. We're talking Tommy Armstrong. You can send us a tweet. How do you remember him? And has your take on Tommy changed as we get closer to the end of his senior season? Have you shifted your thought on what he gave you as a Nebraska fan? And he's trying to go out on a high note. We'll see how much, if at all, if he plays on Saturday with that hamstring issue. That thing's a bit nuts to deal with. So caller 6 now, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Bird, you're going to update our fan base here, or your fan base more so. Want some deer jerky?
Yeah, you can go find some on
Your grill.
On the north side of Van Dorn Street, close to the Highway 77 exit. I smoked one.
I got
a deer last night.
It's still right deer out. Season.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's.
But you weren't hunting.
No, I was
you
not
were
hunting.
Driving.
I was. Yeah. It ran.
But
right
you're okay.
No, I'm fine. Car's a little beat up.
Yeah, I'm sorry about
it's
that.
It's gonna get some body shop work, but yeah, that new car too. That's just the bad thing about it. But that's why you have insurance. But
no, I know, man. But yeah. That's scary.
No, it was not fun.
But yeah, do you have any jerky?
I'll go pick it up when I get on.
All right, we're done now. Gary Barnett next.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get big, big.
We get big, big.
Go big, big.
Go big, big.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you back. Hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning producing. Welcome in, longtime coach at Northwestern and at Colorado, Sports USA Radio Network, Buff Radio Network. I'm going to go out on a limb and say world champion rib smoker. Rib smoker and yes, golfer. Coach Gary Barnett. Coach, how are we doing?
Well, you're wrong on most of those, Chris, but that was nice of you to say. But my ribs are pretty good, though. I could say that. A lot better at ribs than I am at golf. So.
Well, I think you're pretty good at golf, and I know that. Now, I got to get this cleared up first before we move forward. I got a dear friend that's from Iowa, Iowa Russ. We hang out. We I drink his crown, and he puts up with my golf swing. And long and short of it is I get a text about 10:30 Saturday night after Iowa puts that game winner through, saying, what'd Coach Barnett say about Iowa and Michigan? How amazed were you about last Saturday night?
I got to tell you, the only thing that came to my mind when that happened was, God, I told Chris that Michigan was going to win.
Seriously, or are you just lying to me?
I hate being wrong more than anything, and that's exactly what went through my mind. It wasn't that Iowa won or Michigan lost; it's that I had put out on the air that there was no chance that Iowa wins that game. So,
I mean, it was pretty emphatic. Like, dude, move on, get a different game. That was.
Yeah, that's exactly right, you know, but that's why they play the game. So what a great week of everything, or what an interesting week of everything last week was.
Oh, it was incredible, and not a ton with the college football playoff was different. I mean, I know Ohio State moved up quite a few spots, but when it comes to dropping, Michigan didn't, and then Washington fell about three spots. Coach, what do you make of the ranking right now, and if you were giving me your four playoff teams, who are you putting in? You've seen a lot of them.
Yeah, you know, what bothers me most is that, not that bothers me most, but Washington got beat by a better team. You know,
okay.
The other two teams that lost got beat by teams that weren't as good as they were. So I understand the Washington loss completely. I mean, I think SC is probably the best team in that league right now. But the other two, you know, the Penn State victory over Ohio State and the Iowa win over Michigan, I don't think either one of those two teams were better than Michigan and Ohio State. So, you know, I think the top four, you know, I have such mixed emotion on this. I don't like the prettiest girl gets in kind of thing. And I've always been against an 8-team playoff, but I'm almost ready to stand up for an 8-team playoff where you earn your way in, you know. And so, because teams like Penn State, who beat Ohio State, you know, they ought to get credit for beating Ohio State, and Iowa needs to get credit for beating Michigan. And so when they lose to those two teams and they don't fall, you know, it's just driving me a little nuts. I don't like this whole Ohio State may get in and not even play in the championship game. Of course, I have a little issue with that in Nebraska anyway.
Maybe.
You know, and then Louisville appears to be the next prettiest girl in the dance, and they got beat by Clemson, and you know, they've struggled a little bit here and there, and so I'm going round and round on this because I've never wanted an 8-team playoff. I really haven't liked the 4-team playoff that we have right now, and especially since you're going to pick the 4 best-looking teams out there. Well, you know, how about the teams that found a way to win? How about, you know, how about SC, who scratches back and comes from nowhere, and Penn State and Wisconsin? And, I mean, those teams probably have no chance of getting into the playoff, but they may, either one of those teams may win their leagues, and then you're going to put somebody in that doesn't win their league. So I have trouble with that, but I Alabama's a no-brainer. Obviously, nobody in the SEC appears to be good enough to be one of the top four, and I got to go with Clemson because I think they're really good. Ohio State has just handled everybody. I'd have to say Ohio State. Mm-hmm. The fourth team for me, I'm not sure who that is. I really don't. I don't know who the fourth best team is.
I like Wisconsin a lot. I know Louisville's extremely talented, but I love what Wisconsin's done.
Yeah, I do. But, you know, they're a defensive team, and they're not very flashy, and so I don't know that they're going to get in. Truthfully, I think you've got to look hard at West Virginia and Oklahoma this weekend, and I think you've got to look at West Virginia a little bit because that's a really good football team. And if they beat Oklahoma, which it's at Morgantown, I think you got to look at one of those teams out there. The other team is the best team playing right now. As good a team as playing right now is SC.
Mm-hmm.
And they very well, of course, it depends on what Colorado does, but they could very well end up winning that league, playing Washington again. And now you got to make a decision. But they're going to be a 3-loss team, so there's probably no chance of that. But that's a pretty good team.
Right. And the one thing I hate, Coach, is who has the better loss.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's like a loss is a loss. You lost. You know? But that's the argument, though, because now we're looking at, you know, Wisconsin. Their two losses are great.
By seven.
But it drives me nuts, you know. But if you're on that committee, I mean, and you're looking at this thing, the eye test, the best wins, the best losses. How do you? I mean, because it's been different every week. We can't even put our finger on it. I mean, in my opinion, I can't. Louisville's legit because of Lamar Jackson. But honestly, you want to see who they've beaten?
No one.
Florida State.
Exactly.
There's no one.
I'm totally with you, and that's why I'd rather do an expansion. You know, do four leagues, 16 teams, go to an eight game playoff, and put the people who deserve to get in there because they found a way to win, mm-hmm. and don't put the prettiest girl in the dance in there if they didn't win. So I don't know, but that's not going to happen for a while. And I've never been in favor, but I'm leaning that way right now. But I agree, the better losses. And Colorado's number 10 because of their two losses. Mm-hmm. They lost to SC by four, and they lost to Michigan in a game they were leading in the fourth quarter. And they're getting more credit for their losses than they are for their wins. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the way it is. So
Gary Barnett, a couple more minutes with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, it's senior day at Nebraska. 18 walk-ons with this class, 10 of which earned scholarships, and it's been well-documented, Sam Fultz and what he meant to this team. One of his close friends, Tommy Armstrong, we don't know if he's going to play or start or how much because of the hamstring, but, Coach, you followed Nebraska football. What have you thought of Tommy Armstrong, if you could kind of characterize his career? What's been your impression?
Well, if there's one person that epitomizes what's happened at Nebraska, it's got to be Tommy Armstrong. I mean, that is a tough, tough dude. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, who else would you want to stand up and represent your team other than him?
Right.
You know, Westerkamp obviously has been a great one too, but Tommy Armstrong, good grief. It's like he pulls himself up from the dirt, the ashes, and goes out and plays. And so, I mean, I hope probably for his health that he doesn't play. If he wants to play and can play, then he's going to play. But, you know, I think this is a game you can win without him. But it's, you know, won't be easy. None of them are. But to me, he's been the face of Nebraska football.
Mm-hmm. How tough a position is could Coach Riley potentially be in? Because you want a guy like Tommy to be able to play on senior day, but you know you have Iowa in six more days, and you know that game's very important. You know there's a lot of football left to be played. And you know you can probably more than likely win with a guy like Riker Fife. So well, it's tough. He's got to be in a tough position right now, huh?
No question about it. And I think unless Tommy says, I am 100%, then you don't play him. If he says, I'm 100%, I can go in the dock, say, yeah, I agree, then you play him. But if he isn't, then you go the other way. And if you have to, you know, put him in the game at some point to win the game, you put him in the game. But I think he'd understand playing against Maryland and knowing that Iowa's down the road. I think if anybody would understand a guy like him, probably would.
Coach, wanted to get your take here on the whole Wake Forest-Louisville spying that has been alleged. And with that, you know, there's an investigation, a possible breach of the game plan, and that game was tight, and then it wasn't. And from your perspective, how much of that goes on between coaches? And I mean, I remember almost 40 years ago, you know, the Switzer had a spy or Texas sent a spy or whatever the thing was, but that was Texas, Oklahoma. How much of this is too made up and how much of it's real? I mean, you tell me how insecure or even paranoid are coaches in today's day and age?
Well, they are. Everybody, they're all paranoid, and most of this happens with GAs and interns and quality control people and things like that. It's very seldom the head coach, or it's usually the younger coaches. But I have known, I won't say who, and I won't say it's not me, but I've known people who have gone in and put fake game plans into the locker rooms of the other team. Because lots of times in the old days, you'd use the locker room of your scout team or whatever, and the opponent would. So you'd leave a few scouting reports around that weren't really accurate and a few plays that you were going to run that weren't accurate. So I've seen that. I've heard of that happening. I can't attest to it personally, but I've heard of that sort of thing happening. You know, we'll just leave it at that. But, you know, do you put anything past Bobby Petrino?
I don't, man.
I don't either. I mean, what the heck? I mean, that's not exactly the guy that you want on the cover of Mother's Day but magazine. But it's, you know, I wouldn't put it by him. It could very well have happened, and I think there's probably more of that kind of stuff goes on than you really, really know about.
Just the statement made me, I have no knowledge of.
Yeah. It's plausible deniability.
Exactly. Well, how crazy is Folsom going to be on Saturday afternoon? The Pirate, Mike Leach, we love talking to Coach. And the old Washington State's bounce back. Colorado's favored by 4.5. You got a hell of a game coming up on Saturday.
We do. I have no idea how they're favored by 4.5. I mean, this team is scary that they're playing, and Leach is one of those guys that can embarrass you real quick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, their numbers are a kid's throwing 73%. I mean, here's a West Coast an East Coast bias right here. Here's a kid that's completing 73% of his passes. 73%. He's second in the country in yardage. He's fifth in the country in touchdowns. They're playing great defense. They're number 7 in the country in rush defense. They're doing all this, and nobody knows about Mike Falk, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he's an unbelievable player. So he's not even mentioned in any of the Heisman stuff. So this is a team that can embarrass you if you're not really ready to play. And I think it's going to be rocking. We hope it is. I'm looking forward to it. It's a huge game for CU. If they don't win this game, then the next game doesn't mean nearly as much as it could. Mm-hmm. If they do win it, then it means everything. So those kids have played hard. They deserve a chance to do this, but they're going to have to play their very, very best in order to win this game.
Coach, I mean, about 60 seconds left, but I mean, Rose Bowl's right there. I mean, think about the next 3 weeks for Colorado football. And what McIntyre's done. I mean, you got Washington State, you got Utah both ranked, and then you could get SC or Washington. So, I mean, it's right there for you, isn't it?
It is. I don't think they're not good enough to beat Washington USC. Mm-hmm. But you never know. You know, you don't have to be the best team for 7 days a week. You've got to be the best team for 3 hours, and it's not who's the best team, but who plays the best that day. So, yes, that is out there for them. If Washington had not won, then I think the Rose Bowl was a real possibility for them. Had not lost.
Right.
Rose Bowl would be a real possibility for them because Washington could have been in the playoffs. So we'll see, but mm-hmm. It's going to be rocking. And it's a 1:30 start, which is nice for everybody. Mm-hmm. Weather's going to be perfect.
Can't wait. Coach, we'll try and run you down before Turkey Day. Thanks again for a few minutes.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Coach.
Awesome stuff. Bye-bye. Coach Gary Barnett with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine. Safe driving demands your full attention. One of every 3 traffic fatalities in Nebraska. Alcohol-related, many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. That was a lot of fun because I would not know anything about this, but the fake game plan card. We'll talk to Coach DiNardo next, get his take on this. But, you know, Petrino in the middle of it is kind of funny. And then him going, man, I was way off on Michigan and Iowa. That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of him to say, but I hope that's not what went through his head when that field goal went on. Man, I steered Chris wrong.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah. You're right. No, but that was fun. That was awesome. And he's right on, man. I mean, that's been the face of Nebraska football, Tommy Armstrong. We'll see how things progress. We'll try and get you a quick practice report when Coach Riley is done speaking. It's Hale Varsity Radio. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Jerry DiNardo, BTN up next.
Welcome back to the Hale Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Jerry DiNardo. I almost went to work for him one time. We had a nice Italian dinner at a nice Italian restaurant in Bloomington.
Thank you, Coach Banker. Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Quick update on Nebraska practice. No practice today for Tommy Armstrong.
No, we'll reevaluating him tomorrow.
Dedrick Young out, likely.
Mm-hmm.
And Zigbo and Utter.
Practiced.
Practiced. That's good news. So the waiting game continues with the hamstring. Welcome in, Coach Jerry DiNardo at BTN. Jerry DiNardo, just at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, thanks for giving us a few minutes. Busy week for you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
No, appreciate your time. And moving forward here, Coach, let's get into Nebraska, Maryland, and your thoughts on the matchup with a questionable and maybe, dare we say, doubtful Tommy Armstrong.
Well, you know, I think the matchup when Nebraska has the ball is control the line of scrimmage, which they certainly can do. And if you can do that, you know, you can overcome if Tommy doesn't play. And then, you know, the Maryland offense is pretty explosive, and I would think that it sounds like you just had Coach Banker on. You know, you don't want to give up the big play. If they're going to score, make them take time, make them move the stakes. Don't give up the big play, because that's when that Maryland defense can cause you problems. But, again, like most games, especially this time of year, I think you'd agree with me, Jay, it's a line of scrimmage game, and if Nebraska makes it a line of scrimmage game, they should be in good shape.
Jerry DiNardo with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, let's talk a little bit about college football playoff rankings. As Ohio State's in at 2, Michigan 3, and you have Wisconsin and Penn State right there. How comfortable, how confident are you feeling about the Big Ten getting 2? Not just 1, but 2. Do you think that things can play out okay for the conference?
I think any time one conference gets 2, they need help from the other conferences. So there's going to have to be some things that fall, in this case, this year, in the Big Ten's favor. And so, you know, it sounds like the Big 12 will have a hard time getting in. It sounds like the ACC will definitely be in. The SEC will be definitely in. So it might come down to, is the Pac-10, or Pac-12, rather, are they in, or is there going to be 2 Big Ten teams? But you can't do it alone. You can't get 2 teams in. No conference can get 2 teams in without help from other conferences, meaning that there has to be perhaps a 2-loss conference champion in the Big 12, or the Pac-12, rather. Or if Washington wins out, you know, they may be compared with 1 loss to a 2-loss Big Ten team.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about Maryland and Coach Durkin. And he is young, but he's been at high spots at a number of places, working for Coach Harbaugh, working for Coach Meyer. And what do you think he can do at Maryland? I mean, he's almost got him bowl eligible, could by the end of this season. He's been an incredible recruiter as an assistant, and now he's running the show at Maryland. What can Maryland football be?
Well, you know, I think the first step is you have to stay ahead of Rutgers, which he's ahead of. You have to stay ahead of Indiana, and you've got to get in the mix recruiting with Penn State and with Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State. And when you have matchups on the crossovers, you have to win those games, and you have to hope that the athletic director does a good job with your non-conference schedule. And then after you do all that, and after you have that organized, then you see how far up in the East Division you can go. But it's all about scheduling. Their facilities need improvement, which it looks like they're getting ready to do. They don't have an indoor facility, which is a serious problem in the fall in bad weather, because in the past they've either had to use the Redskins or the Ravens facilities. It gets the guys off campus. You know, they're traveling. It's disruptive with their schoolwork, so they've got to do some facility work. But again, I think you stay ahead of Rutgers, stay ahead of Merrill, of Indiana, and try to get your non-conference schedule and just kind of make gradual, steady progress.
Coach, thoughts this weekend on Michigan State and Ohio State? It's in East Lansing, and Michigan State got their first conference win last week. They feel better Do you sense some momentum building at all in East Lansing? And how difficult a game will this be for Ohio State?
Well, I think it'll be a difficult game. I think when you look at Michigan State's season and you look at their schedule, they play Ohio State this week. They play Penn State next week. Those are two games everybody in the country is going to be watching because they have implications for college football playoffs. So that, I think, energizes the Michigan State group, although they're not having the kind of season, obviously, they wanted. I think you look at Ohio State. There's only six returning starters from last year's game. I'm not sure there's revenge on the players' minds. As I remember last year when Michigan State went into Columbus without Connor Cook and with Tyler O'Connor, and they won that game in an upset, it was because they won the line of scrimmage. We remember Ezekiel Elliott saying he didn't get the ball very much or not enough. I think Urban Meyer takes this responsibility. I think he thinks it was his fault they lost last year. So if there's any revenge motive, I think it's on the, I think it's in the staff room, not in the locker room.
Coach, I got to ask you about what's going on between Wake Forest and Louisville. Wake Forest investigating a possible breach of its game plan before the game last week against Louisville. They discovered the documents inside Louisville Stadium that showed specific plays that the Deacons had never run previously. What's it like as a coach if there's some stuff you're working on and all of a sudden it seems like the other team, who you didn't think would be prepared for it, is prepared for it? How real is espionage in college football?
Well, I think it's real. I don't think it's prevalent. You know, I get a kick out of the breach and security. You know, in the old days, it used to be, darn, they got our game plan. And so the terminology has changed. You know, I've been involved with it a little bit. You know, one of the legendary stories that I was exposed to was Gary Moeller, who was Bo Schembecker's defensive coordinator, and a GA found an opponent's game plan on Friday. I think he found it in the locker room, and he brought it to Gary Moeller, and Gary Moeller refused to look at it. And that's the road he took. I was at LSU, and we were getting ready to play Georgia, and Jim Donnan called me like on Wednesday, and because I had open practices, and he said to me, he said, Jerry, have you seen these blogs? There's people blogging, telling us everything you're doing. So that's the high road. You know, the low road is, you know, when you could live scout, there'd be grad assistants getting press credentials, going into the visitor's locker room of the next opponent, trying to get paperwork that one of the players had left around and those type of things. You're always going through trash pails of the opponents, whether you're visiting, whether you're the home team. I don't think it's prevalent. I think it happens once in a while. And I think there's probably as many coaches take the high road as they do the low road.
So there was dumpster diving going on to find game plans.
There was definitely dumpster diving. And again, Chris and Jay, this happened more when there was live scouting. So it was the week before. So you sent the GA who nobody recognized. So if that GA could get credentials and go into the locker room posing as media, they could find some paperwork around. And then you had the GA stick around later, see if there was anything in the dumpsters. Then if they were coming to your place, you know, the locker room Friday of the visitors was always a place that if they had left some things around, which this may be what's happened recently, that's one of the ways that you could get it. But let me warn you, you know, it can backfire on you too. You can start changing the game plan on Friday thinking you're going to outsmart them, and all you do is confuse your own players.
Absolutely. Coach, about 90 seconds. What are your thoughts on Tommy Armstrong as he'll be at his final game at Memorial Stadium, still a bowl game in the Iowa game yet, but what do you think he's meant to Nebraska, and what do you think of him as an analyst?
Well, he's meant a tremendous amount to Nebraska. You know, he's been through a coaching change, which I think is always very difficult for players. I think the quarterback at Nebraska, the quarterback at Notre Dame, the quarterback at Michigan, the quarterback at Ohio State are young people that are under incredible scrutiny. And those are only some of the schools, but these elite programs, everybody's an offensive coordinator watching the game, and everyone is a quarterback coach. From a personal standpoint, I am so glad we went on the road this year with tailgate, because I got to watch Tommy Armstrong on the sidelines when they played Illinois. I got to watch them other times on the sidelines at Indiana. And I never had an appreciation for what a great competitor he was, because it doesn't come through on a TV. And I've never had an appreciation for what a great leader he was or is, because you could see the players rally around him. So I feel fortunate that I've had a chance to see him, maybe like not a lot of other fans that follow the game don't see him. I'm a great admirer. I think he's had an extraordinary career, and I hope he finishes strong.
You can watch Coach DiNardo, BTN Live, of course, BTN Tailgate, and Big Ten Football and Beyond on the Big Ten Network at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, 30 seconds, where are you at this weekend?
Well, we're actually home. We're off the road this week. Next week, I'm at the Ohio State-Michigan game. Tailgate won't resume until the championship game in Indianapolis. So they've given us the weekend at home. Based on good behavior, and so I still wish I was on the road, but that's not the schedule.
Coach, you're great. Thanks for a few minutes. It was fun to talk today. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Chris.
Take care. Jerry DiNardo with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Dumpster diving.
It happens.
It's like Belushi in Animal House trying to find the test exam.
Well, I mean, it's you go to great extremes. I mean, to protect it, sure, people have noticed. You watch all the Nebraska games, so when they signal the call into Tommy, either guys are with doors or towels, so they can't, because you always have end zone cameras to pick them up. So they're blocking that, so people can't pick up those signals from the end zone cameras for film.
This whole espionage thing kind of got rolling a few weeks back with the old Pirate and Arizona State's coach Graham, and then they asked how each other's mother was in the post-game handshake, right? And now you have this Louisville thing. And, hey, you know, people are blogging about it, which that was cool, Coach DiNardo to say, the old Georgia coach. And then you send a GA.
Press credentials.
Yeah, you're there to
that's,
report.
That, yeah, that's a little aggressive.
Yeah, well.
But, you know. You do what you got to do, I guess.
Well, I don't have the story right. It was either Texas or it was Oklahoma. I think it might have been Texas. They sent someone to spy on Switzer or something.
Sure. I don't know what you can get because, I mean, your greatest.
Maybe it's Nebraska, Oklahoma.
Your greatest tell is the film. Yeah. You get that. I mean, I don't.
In 2002, on third down and four, it was option short side.
Right.
You knew what was coming. Mm-hmm. We'll talk some more college football. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Gary Barnett and Coach Jerry DiNardo. You know, weather's going to flip. It's going to get a bit chilly. Perfect time to get that hot tub or spa knocked out with Deb, the spa lady. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, also in Omaha. Deb, it's almost Thanksgiving. How are we doing?
I know it. It is almost Thanksgiving, and we have just a few spots left for delivery. So if you're wanting to get your spa in time for your holiday guests, you need to come in and get that picked out and get in one of our last time slots, because time is flying and also the snow could be flying and it's going to get cold here with, I think, is it tomorrow night?
That's what
really
I'm hearing.
Cold.
Yeah. Well,
so, yes.
So the holiday hot tub party at Schmidt's, if I need to make that happen, I got to call you like now, right?
Yeah, you need to be calling me right away, and we'll get it there, but we don't have a lot of time.
Deb, real quick, the swim spa, great holiday gift idea, correct?
Oh, yes. It's something that you can use year-round. You can exercise in it. You can actually use it as a hot tub, because you can heat it up to 104 like a regular hot tub. You can turn it down for exercising. And like I said, it's year-round, so something that can keep you in shape year-round, and it's fun to exercise in a swim spa.
Deb, you can be found where? Tell us, in Lincoln and in Omaha.
In Lincoln, 20th and Highway 2. In Omaha, 138th and Industrial Road. And our website is spasonline.com.
Deb, the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas. Nice win by KU, by the way.
Oh, Oh, that was so great.
And they beat Duke. It was really great.
Stop it.
It's a glimpse of this new year, I think.
There you go. Deb, you take care. Thanks again.
Okay.
There we go.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Come on now. You're still on Duke. It wasn't just to rub my face in it last
spring. I've always been on Duke. I've been on Duke since I was in fourth grade.
That's your fault.
No. They're without their two best players, so just enjoy it, you KU fans.
It's all right. Be nice to Deb. She's very polite.
We'll be cutting down the nets in March anyway.
You'll be tripping kids again. Mm-hmm. All right, so the Tommy Armstrong updates continue to flow. And the consensus is this. It's shifted a bit. Just because it's senior day, don't assume he'll play.
You mean if you can't play, you can't play. I mean,
he can still hobble out, though.
Yeah, he can
still participate in the tunnel.
Right.
Okay, let's just say that number four jersey is hanging in the locker. It's Riker time. Offensive coordinator Bird.
Yeah.
Tell me who you target if you're Riker. Who do you think he's? That's the question. You have Riker, and then you have Darlington. And who's Riker likely working with in practice? From the receiving core.
Everyone. But, I mean.
But he's probably more in tune with some other guys, correct?
Everyone. Jordan, has a Westy connection.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell. It's because you don't see him take that many snaps. We just haven't been in that position to where you can see him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a good and a bad thing. But we haven't had any many blowout wins to where he's taken, majority of fourth quarter snaps. I think he needs to get real comfortable with Ethan Carter.
Okay.
I think that's a given. That'd be my 1A. My 1B would be Stanley Morgan. I think him one-on-one in routes, I think he's just a good guy, big body that you can kind of moss guys on, and kind of get that, out-rebound him for that ball. But other than that, I mean, you better be running that thing about 75% of the time, though. I think with Ozigbo back, you get Newbie and you get Ozigbo rocking and rolling, and you get that with Foster. I think you run left a lot with Foster and Gates over there. And I think you just get some high percentage throws with Riker. I mean, get some, get that stretch game kind of going. And then he rolls some nice little boot action off of it. Some simple, easy throws for him to get his confidence. And if you can have to stretch the field every now and then, just keep him honest. Attack those one-on-one battles that he threw against Ohio State that really didn't, we never got completed. But, pick your poison. Pick it wisely. You don't do anything crazy. And I know Coach Riley and Coach Langsdorf know this. They're to have a way better game plan than what I would ever put together. But you don't have to overthink it. I mean, this is pretty simple.
Can I ask how difficult it is to manage emotions on senior day, especially on the defensive side of the ball? You're facing a team that's going to – I mean, if Piggy starts at quarterback, mm-hmm. he's the mobile guy that's mm-hmm. electric. You've seen highlights of him. He can't throw well, but he's on the zone read game. Those dudes that can run are a pain.
Mm-hmm.
And their tailback, Ty Johnson's not an every-down back per the scouting report Vogel's put together from Hale Varsity, but he's still good, and he's still 8.5 a carry. So you got explosive runners. You have seven runs of 40 yards or more from Johnson this year. You can't be too geeked.
Right.
But you're going to be, right?
Yeah.
Or you could be the other side of it. You could be, I don't want to say depressed, but there may be a bit of sadness.
Yeah, yeah. It's, once the game kicks off, it's a game. All that stuff kind of goes, and this is just what you've done 10 times before already this year. But it just depends. I think every guy's different. I was pretty emotional before we played Colorado at home, my senior game. Me being a Nebraska kid and just realizing this is what you wanted to do since you're five, and all of a sudden it's done, and you look at all the good friends you've been around, you've built relationships with, and it was pretty emotional. It was goosebumps and tears in your eyes and all these type of things because it just sucks. Because you enjoy it. I just tell them, the guy, you enjoy it so much every time. No matter from the first one to the last one, that tunnel walk is, it's something special. It's something you can never recreate. You can never duplicate ever again. I've run out of NFL tunnels before. Not even close.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close at all. And once you realize this is the last time you do it, it's hard. It's a tough pill to swallow because I would like to still be doing it right now, honestly. But it's just part of the process. It's part of moving on. It's just, but you enjoyed it and did everything you can. But I'm sure to some guys, it's probably not that big a deal. But to me, it was a huge deal.
Who did you seek out first? What coach?
Well, you know, the whole thing was we had, you know, Callahan was there.
Yeah.
And
was Cause around there? Or?
You know, he wasn't.
So it was Billy C.
You hugged old Billy C. And then, your family's down the field and you take a picture. And I think the process of our senior day was kind of a dumpster fire. Somehow it got rushed a little bit. And it was actually kind of a bad deal. Like,
I'm sorry to laugh at
that. No, you're fine. No, it was something.
Hey, our senior day was a dumpster
timing,
fire.
No, the timing of everything kind of got messed up with like when we – like the kick, you know, because of TV coverage and
– it's Colorado.
Right. Something happened and everything got sped up. So it's like you're running out and all of a sudden like another name's announced and it was just really – it was kind of weird. But it's just another game. But to some people, it's going to affect them differently. And I saw Cause. I could see everyone. But, you know, we had – after that game, you know, we still had to go get ready for the Big 12 championship, and then so we had bigger, you know, bigger fish to fry after that one.
What did he say to you? Do you remember?
I have no idea. I just probably just, you know, I love you. Thanks for everything.
Okay.
You know, worked your tail off. You deserve everything you get. So, something around those lines.
That's,
you know,
cool.
Pretty simple, sweet. You know, to the picture. You know,
that's cool. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning will wind down a Thursday. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Winding down a Thursday, busy night, NFL tonight, New Orleans, Carolina. Will Cam cry? Well, that's a yes. And then you have Houston and Louisville. I don't know what's been going on in Houston, but
Houston,
I'm sure
Louisville.
The blinds have been drawn.
If Houston beats Louisville.
I'd love that.
I would
love to see it.
I
got to see it. I'm going to go have some wings somewhere and watch it, I think.
If Houston beats Louisville, does Lamar Jackson still win the Heisman Trophy?
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's the best quarterback.
I mean, the dude has got 45 touchdowns.
But isn't it funny how, I mean, to Barnett's credit, you know, talking about Washington State's quarterback, I mean, 73%.
Luke Falk is great. Luke Falk was supposed to be...
73%?
He's supposed to be at, like, Alabama. And then he busted up his knee and he walked on at Washington State. He was an Idaho kid. But Leach knows...
Right.
We're going to get the Pirate on next week. I always get him on. We get him in like August.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to ask him every week.
Right.
But, so we talk to Pirate August, October, and then we'll, if things work out well and they, you know, go buffalo hunting, we'll get him on before Washington State.
Apple Cup.
Yeah, because there's a great story he told, and we'll have to see if TJ can pull that up maybe next week. Before we say goodbye, and Leach is on TV, and he came on the next Monday, and he's got two blondes under each arm. He's like, "Coach, great win, man! Thanks for coming on." He's like, "Who are the blondes?" He's like, "Is that your daughter?" He's like, "I don't know who the hell they were, but they helped the photo." He had just two blondes under each arm that kind of ran under him. Because he went 3-9 his first year, but they beat Washington, they beat Sarkisian, and he had these two just smoke shows under his arm, and like, yeah, I just didn't complain. So I, you know what, I can't wait to watch that game after the Nebraska Maryland game, Washington State Colorado, and then yeah, that'll be good, and then Apple Cup, good next couple of weeks of football, yay or nay? Do you think Houston pulls it off?
No.
They are the only team to really smack around Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it. They did it a year ago when he was a true freshman making his second career start. They forced two interceptions and a fumble.
Although, Louisville struggled, obviously, for three quarters last week and all of a sudden turned it on.
They've been fading a bit.
Right.
I think their interest has been.
Is it in Louisville? Or is it
in Houston?
No, in H-Town.
H-Town won at Louisville last year.
Man, I kind of like H-Town.
13.5 point spread too.
Paul Wall.
Cougar time. Maybe.
Chopped and screwed.
It's Sauter.
What do you know about chopped and screwed?
Sauter Heyman time. Go see Rick and your friends at One Carat Diamond, still available for you, $100 a month. And holiday season around the corner, so the time is now for a One Carat Diamond that's affordable for you, and she'll love it for this holiday season. $100 a month. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, sauterheyman.com. Come see your friends at Sauter Heyman tomorrow at the Hale Varsity tailgate in the rail yard right under the cube. The grand prize giveaway happens tomorrow for that Oris His and Her Watch giveaway. So we'll see you tomorrow at 4 in the rail yard with the Hale Varsity tailgate. Thanks to Gary Barnett, Bill Dolman today on site at the rail yard tomorrow. Be good.